And so we're so excited this morning that the Lord, I feel, is here. And let's just read from verse 1 of chapter 1 in the book of Ruth. Read about 7 verses here as we lay this little story, this little foundation, and we'll minister what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came unto the country of Moab, and they continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her 2 sons. And so the 2 sons took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other one was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her 2 daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah." I want to take the name of this message out of the 7th verse we had just read. "I'm going forth out of this place." She found herself in a very disconcerting, a very disheartened place in life. But she knew where to go. It was time to get back home. It was time to get back to God. Amen. And like so many today, can find themselves spiritually and even naturally out of their place, out of the will of God. But the beauty of the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter where we are, if we'll but look to Him, He'll bring us home. He'll bring us out of that place that we are. And He'll set our feet upon a rock. Amen. He can change anything, and He can change everything if you'll let Him work. Again, I'm going forth out of this place. I don't know about you, but there are times in life where there are things where I find myself maybe where I shouldn't be spiritually, sometimes even naturally. But God is the God that directs the steps of His people. And He will lead us, He will guide us, and He will bring us into that perfect, good and perfect will of God. Amen, if we'll let Him work. Father, again this morning as we come into Your house, we're just thankful for all that have shown up for the Word of God today, for this service. Our heart is that nobody leaves empty. Nobody leaves here unfed and untouched. It's our heart today, Father, that You would just send from heaven and that You would anoint Your Word that I felt You've laid on my heart. And Lord, that You would feed Your people and bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, this morning, give the children's church their portion. Those that are viewing on live stream, Lord, that You would bless them and give them their portion this morning. Feed them the Word. Let them sense Your presence. And Father, we thank You today for all good things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. I'm going forth out of this place. Praise the Lord. Unbelief this morning is the evil twin of belief. Unbelief is the evil twin this morning of belief. Let me qualify that here this morning a little bit. Belief is basically faith in a right thing, a right direction. And we're talking belief as it regards spiritual things, your walk with the Lord. We're not talking generically speaking, but in the things of God, unbelief is that evil twin of belief, of real faith, if we want to look at it that way. Because belief, number one, is faith in a right thing and in a right direction. But unbelief is equally faith in a wrong thing and a wrong direction. Both belief and unbelief are a faith entity. You say, how does that work? You take an atheist. An atheist claims to have no faith in God. But atheism is a religion in itself. It's who you identify as God. It takes faith to be an atheist. God will look at an atheist's faith in themselves, in the fact that they feel there is no divine entity, no deity. But their faith is regarded by heaven as an unbelief. Amen? They have faith that there is no God. God looks down from heaven at the poor atheists and realizes that they have faith in a wrong thing. That is considered an unbelief. Poor atheists, they live, they die, they dress them up in a suit, we all walk by them, and they get dressed up and there's no place to go. In their mind, there's no heaven, but we know that all unbelievers will perish for eternity, and that's really not a humorous thing. That's a very sad thing. We have to understand, and this is where I just want to lay this foundation before we really get into our text this morning, that unbelief is that evil twin of faith and of true believing. Belief is a faith in a right thing, a right direction, but unbelief is faith in a wrong thing and a wrong direction, and both belief and unbelief are a faith entity. I want that in our heart and in our spirit this morning. You and I who are believers, you know, there's an epidemic today in the church world. We call them unbelieving believers. So many believers have gotten away from the foundations of the faith, gotten away from the foot of the cross, have embraced philosophies, worldliness, other teaching of faiths and religions out there, and are trying to make a hybrid Christianity. God calls that an unbelief, but yet they have a faith in what they're believing. But that faith is not a saving faith. That faith will not get them out of this life alive. In fact, my Bible says in the book of Revelation, the unbelievers have their portion in the lake of fire forever. Amen. And so understand that this morning, that even people that might not embrace the cross, embrace Jesus Christ, God deems them as unbelievers, and they are in unbelief. In fact, even Jesus, in his earthly ministry, going to his homeland, with a pocket full of miracles, it said he could do there no mighty work because of their unbelief. And he marveled at that. That yet they were the commonwealth of Israel. They were to be God's people. They were to be the head and not the tail, the lead nation. But yet, because of unbelief, they had faith in their religion, faith in their false way, but God considered it an unbelief. When those Israelites came out of Egypt's bondage and they were going through the wilderness on their way to God's land of promise for them, it said that first generation died off because of their hardness of heart and their unbelief. They questioned everything that God was trying to bring them into. God had a good plan for their life, but because the way was hard and it was difficult and they had to learn how to trust God and not lean on Egypt, lean on that world system, lean on themselves, amen, they couldn't make the transition and they remained in an unbelief. And the Bible even tells us in the writings of Paul that their carcasses fell in the wilderness. God was so displeased with them, he didn't say, my children perish in the wilderness. He called them carcasses. Man, because of unbelief. Unbelief is a powerful thing. It'll damn the soul. It'll damn the soul. People say, do you believe in unconditional eternal security? Let me tell you what I believe, what I believe the Bible teaches. I believe the Bible teaches eternal security. We are as secure as our faith in Christ will keep us secure. No man can pluck you out of his hand if you're in faith, if you're believing. But if you regress back into an unbelief and you begin to embrace other philosophies, you've eroded the foundation of faith, and now your faith is considered by God an unbelief, and that has put you outside of that garden just like it did Adam and Eve. Amen. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, you need to read your Bible. And you can't but read the Bible and not come up with that conclusion. Unbelief is a very serious thing. What's your faith in this morning? What am I trusting in? Where's my faith? Where's my belief this morning? What am I believing in? Where's my faith? Is it a true faith? Am I believing? Am I a believer? Am I believing the gospel, the faith? Amen? Am I believing it and it alone? Amen? Hallelujah. The poor guy, that would trust his baby baptism. Dealt with that this week. Interesting conversation with an individual. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to go in the background how we ran into him, but talking to an individual, Liz was there. And he saw a picture of me water baptizing my dad way back in the early 90s when we pioneered Promised Land Church in Ripon. And he had asked about that, and he said that his church is requiring that all members of that church be water baptized by full immersion, and he was struggling with that. You know, and he wanted to know what did we think, because he knew he had found out that we pastored too. Well, in the course of the conversation, basically his issue, I think, wasn't so much getting water baptized as membership, it was just the concept of being water baptized by full immersion. And we had explained to him that, well, I don't know if that church is requiring that for membership. That's something that churches embrace. We don't require that here. I just want you to know. We do require that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? And that if you've been water baptized out there and it's been a true biblical baptism, you don't have to be baptized here, because the one baptism that saves you is your faith in the crucified. And if your faith is in the Son of God, you're believing on Jesus Christ, you're as saved as you'll ever be, amen? And if you want to be part of Promised Land Church, let the Lord by His Spirit put you here. We'll know it, amen? And you will know it. And flow with us. Don't work against the work of God, amen? Because you'll find yourself outside, because this work is going on in truth, not in the philosophies of men, amen? So understand that this morning. But with that, talking to him, his issue was really the concept of being water baptized. In other words, and I brought up to him, I says, you know, most people today, they embrace a philosophy of Christianity, and that kind of hit him. They've been raised in it. They've been taught about it. They claim to be Christian. They've been grown up in it in denominational circles. The problem is they've embraced the philosophy of it, but it never was a heart thing that converted their soul unto repentance. It never changed their heart and mind in Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, I see this all the time in what's called the body of Christ. Churches are full this morning of people that are embracing a philosophy of Christianity, not the substance thereof. Amen? And in that philosophy, God considers that an unbelief, because they are not believing the need to be born again, to be saved, to be washed in the blood. And I believe with all of my heart that when a person does not want to go on to water baptism upon their true salvation, then something is amiss with their salvation experience, and there's an embarrassment there. What are they embarrassed about? Water baptism doesn't save us. It's a testimonial of a faith that's already there. It's an outward expression to the body of Christ, to everybody that knows me, that I am identifying myself with the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who's Lord of all, and I'm going to be buried in that water like He was buried. I'm going to be put to death like He was put to death in that water, symbolically speaking, but I'm coming out of that water in a brand new life, amen? And I'm letting everybody know I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. He's my Lord, my King. He's my love. He's everything I have in this life and in the next life. It's in the person and work of Jesus, who loved me, who died for me, and gave Himself for me. Amen. And I'm not ashamed of this. Amen. That shows the heart has been regenerated. Amen. And where there's true regeneration, there's true faith, there's true belief. Amen. So we're laying this foundation. Understand that unbelief and belief, they're twins. But unbelief is that evil twin of belief. And that unbelief will always do you wrong. Amen. Now we go to our text. What are we reading about? Back in the time when the judges ruled, Israel, in fact, the book of Judges and the book of Ruth, they were written in the same time period. And what's interesting is you read the book of Judges, this is what you find. Israel so often was not ruled by a king, but God would raise up men and sometimes women that would preside over the people, that would get them out of spiritual trouble when they wandered away from the heart of God. And one thing you see in the book of Judges over and over and over, it says Israel went into sin. Well, then God raises up an enemy, and the enemy brings them into a captivity. They get tired of the captivity. They cry out to God. God raises up a deliverer and delivers them from the hand of the enemy. And that goes on over and over and over and over and over in the book of Judges. God's people drift from him. They get in trouble. God puts them into captivity. They get tired of being shackled. They cry out to God. God raises up a deliverer. Amen. And it's also a picture story, and it encourages us this morning that God is a forgiving God. He's not only God of the first, second, and third chance, but of the 100th and the 50th and the millionth if it need be. God will ever respond to the heart's cry of faith towards him all the time. Amen? And friend, if you're in a place you don't like to be, and if you're in a place you don't want to be, I'm talking spiritually speaking, you finding yourself maybe out of the will of God, you've made decisions that don't bless the Lord and didn't please the Lord, but if you look up to Jesus and call on his name and look to him, I'm telling you, just like he did Naomi of old, he'll bring you out of that place where you are and bring you back to the homeland, spiritually speaking. Amen? There's always a way back for the child of God. Hallelujah. All the time, all the time, all the time. Amen. And so a famine hit Bethlehem, Judah, and this is interesting. Bethlehem means the house of bread. But Israel had drifted from God, and God sent a famine. And when famine came, it was always a picture of the displeasure of God upon his people. Whenever you read that in the scriptures, famine in the land, there was a famine in the land. It was a picture that God was not blessing his people and that God was sending drought and he was sending famine because he was trying to get the attention of his people that they properly come back to proper faith in Jehovah God. Amen? And this is the pattern we see today too. How many times when we go through spiritual dryness, a spiritual time of dry. Sometimes it's a heart-searching thing. Sometimes God is just trying to get our attention. But sometimes, if we're not in that abundant life, maybe we're in an unbelief and we're going a wrong direction with what we think is faith. Amen? You know, much of the church today under the law and trying to bring believers under the law. And now we see the Hebraic movement, again, trying to bring people under the old Judaistic law. But that's a wrong direction, and God looks at that as an unbelief. Because that type of individual is not trusting in the finished work of the cross. They're not putting faith in the finished work of Christ. They are doing things that they think makes them more spiritual. And it's an errant direction. It's an unbelief. And sometimes God has to send those famines. And you know, the harder they look and the harder they try, it's because there's a dryness in that soul. Why is there dryness in that soul? Listen, we experienced this just a little bit this morning. But when the presence of God is near, it tells you that God can enter. God can be near. And God only comes near where the blood is applied. If he comes near you without the blood, you'd be a dead man. But it's been said, it's only on the blood-stained platform of where the blood of Jesus was shed, where sinful man and a holy God can have fellowship and meet and embrace each other. Amen? Hallelujah. Think about that. And so the house of bread, Bethlehem, was without bread. The blessing of God was lifted off the land because of Israel's sin. Amen. And now this family, Elimelech's family and his wife Naomi and the two sons, instead of riding out the famine, instead of getting a hold of the Lord, you know, listen, people say, well, what are we supposed to do in a time of famine? You know, when things are withdrawn from your life, even our finances sometimes, it brings us to decisions sometimes you don't like to make. It's at those times, if we're not careful, we'll plunge ourselves deeper into debt instead of waiting on the Lord, won't we, at times? It'll get us to uproot and maybe take a job 200 miles away, but there's no church there. Just because good opportunities come, it doesn't mean it's always for you at that time. So we got to sift through all of that and make sure we're in his will. Amen. Amen. Even in church life, sometimes God has to bring correction on a church body. Sometimes if that church is getting away from the foundations of the faith, God has to allow shakeups to come. And even in the will of God, there can be shakeups because not everybody sitting in the house of God is on the same page with the message of the cross. Amen. And at times, that can produce some real trouble. Amen? But as what was happening in Bethlehem, Judah, there was no bread, and so they made this decision as a family that let's ride out the famine. Let's go down. We can probably make a living down in Moab. We'll just stay there for a short time until we know the Lord has turned to captivity of Bethlehem, Judah, and God is blessing the land again, that we'll come back. You know, when we reason things out, you know, reasoning, God gave us the capability of reason. It's a good thing. But be careful you don't reason yourself out of faith, because faith doesn't always make sense to the natural man. It doesn't always make sense to the natural mind. You've got to start hearing in your spirit and staying where God wants you to stay until the Lord either closes the door or opens another one. Unless it's so blatantly obvious. People will sit in churches where the gospel is not being preached and they're saying, I don't know if I should leave. I don't know if I should move on. Well, what do you want, an earthquake? The Word of God tells us that if they're heretics and they're not preaching the gospel, withdraw yourself from every brother that walks disorderly, even if it's a preacher, even if it's a church. Get yourself out of those churches, would be the word to those people that are not feeding your spirit just because they got a zillion programs for the kids, and it looks like a rock concert every Sunday morning, and the parking lot is full, and the building is a $10 million metroplex. That doesn't mean it's got the blessing of God. Give me a little living room where you got 8-9 people full of the Holy Ghost that love Jesus and are worshiping Him, and the glory of God can fill that living room. My Lord. Hallelujah. You see, the famine will come. And I pray that none of us are spiritually in a famine today, because then it's a time for heart examination. Where are we at? Where are we at? And so Elimelech and Naomi and Malion and Chilion, they leave the homeland. And they go down, the Bible says they went down into Moab. You see, when you leave the will of God instead of riding out the famine, listen, remember the story of the widow when Elijah came by? She had a little bit of oil left in her cruse. She had a little, just about a handful of wheat, and she was going to make her last set of cakes and feed her and her son. And that was going to be about it. And she said, then we'll die because this is all we got. They were riding out the famine. And you know what God did? God sent Elijah to that widow. And the man of God, I mean, it sounds very self-serving, but he said, feed me first and you'll have plenty. And out of obedience, most of us would have struggled with that. I would have struggled with that. I'll be honest. I would have struggled with that too. Amen. Who are you? Are you arrogant? Who put you first? But it was a type. Elijah represented the work of God. He represented the things of the Lord. He represented God Almighty. And if I put God first when He prompts me to, God says, by faith, if I'm in faith, He'll take care of the rest. And guess what? That woman, that cruse of oil never ran low. It never ran out. It carried her through the famine. You see, Elimelech needed that lesson. You know, there were people riding out the famine. They didn't go to the land of Moab. That was forbidden in Scripture. The Israelites were not to walk away and wander to the lands of the heathen to find sustenance and find support. They were to ride out the famine. They were to get a hold of God. They were to trust the Lord at all times. In fact, that's even a scripture, my friend. The Bible says that you and I are to trust the Lord at all times. All times. And friend, we're in Christmas season, and I know there's some that the need is acute and it's severe, and you don't know how you're going to get through. But I want you to know, if you'll turn to God and call on Jesus' name and trust Him, God will bring you through. God will bring you through. And He'll take care of your needs. Amen. But they went down into Moab. And friend, when you wander out of the will of God, almost like David, when David said, I'm surely going to perish one day by the hand of Saul, and he went into the land of the Philistines, and he scrabbled by the door of the king, and they thought he had lost his mind, and he got himself out of the will of God for a year and a half. And David began to do some horrible atrocities. In that time, when you get away from God, you'll become as mean as a pit bull. You'll do things you never thought you would do. Amen? You think it's bad going to Walmart on a Black Friday when they camped out for 3 weeks at the doorstep and wanted to get in there and get that Black Friday special, and they come in with a gun and they fight you? And I mean, I saw some of those clips. I mean, I heard about them. I mean, my Lord, it was like, wow, that's how a child of God will get under the right pressure when you're out of His will. You say, well, that'll never happen to me. Don't say that. God will let it happen to you just to show you your heart. We are all capable of the worst things if we get out of the will of God and we're left to ourselves. And so Elimelech and Naomi and Milion and Chilion, they go down into Moab and they sojourn there thinking it's just going to be a few months. We'll just ride out the famine. Soon as we hear word from Bethlehem, Judah, that God is blessing it, we'll just come back. Well, as time went on, the husband died. Out of his will. A short time later, the sons take wives of the women of the land of Moab. And they die. And now it's been 10 years. And the Bible says in our text, if you read it, it says, and the woman was left. This is funny. It's not funny, but think about it. She's called Naomi until her sons die off. And now the Holy Spirit, who's the author of the scriptures, calls her the woman. The woman was left. That has spiritual significance. You know what that tells me? When you and I persist out of the will of God and don't come to our senses, as God in Scripture referred to the Israelites as carcasses, she was losing the favor of God as time went on because she was staying intentionally out of the will of God. She should have gotten back to Bethlehem, Judah. When the husband died, she should have told the sons, you know, we need to just get back home. But she stayed there, which tells us that she was part of that unbelief too. It's not always the husband that's in unbelief. The wife can be in unbelief too. It's not always the wife that's in unbelief. That husband can be in unbelief too. Amen? The woman was left of her two sons. Now, somehow, she gets word. It's been 10 years. She's lost everything precious to her. Can I say this so carefully, friends? You get out of the will of God, I get out of the will of God, we'll lose what's precious to us. The thing you think you'd never lose can be taken very quickly. And don't get me wrong, there are times where God will do a cleanup in our life. There were times where God may allow a very hard thing to come, and we can lose loved ones. And that's not always the judgment of God. As believers, we live in a fallen world, and nothing works like it should. It rains on the just and the unjust. The cancer can come. The death can come. The traumatic event can happen. But there's a difference when you're in the will of God and something happens. The peace of God is there to shore up your heart. Even though it's been hard, traumatic, and difficult, God can get you through it with His grace. And He will make all things to work out together for your good in due time. But there's another thing when you're out there, out of the will of God, and the calamity comes. I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person that if hardships come, as long as I know I'm in His will, to the best of my knowledge, I can make it through. But if I know I've made some missteps and now things are coming my way, my Lord, I don't know about you, I'm the first one, I'm going to get back to God. I'm going to look to Him again. Many, many years ago now, Liz and I going on 16 years of marriage, but my first marital situation when that went south, and I was basically told I was no longer needed, no longer wanted, and she went her way. I made a decision at that time. I'm not going back to the bar stool. I'm not going to blame God. I'm going to stay in the house of God. I'm going to stay in the will of God and let Him walk me through this valley. Amen. And I'll tell you, it was excruciating. It took many years to heal up from that. But you know what? I'm glad I stayed in the will of God. I'm glad I stayed in the Lord, and God has restored my life, and God has put me back together. Amen. He's brought me the best wife in the world. Amen. Two wonderful sons. Amen. Where are they? They're here. There's one. There's the other. Amen. I got great daughters. I got grandchildren now. Ministry restored. Amen. And it's not done. It's not done. My vitality has come back. Amen. But that's been a process of time. When the famine came, I stayed in the will of God and I made that decision. Amen. And so now they're down there in Moab. 10 years have gone. The sons are dead. The husband is dead. And she's got 2 daughters-in-law. But she heard again that God is blessing the land of Bethlehem, Judah. In other words, the house of bread, again, was being filled with bread. There are times that you and I, listen, I believe in the last 20, 30 years, the modern church and modern Christianity, because the shakeup of some bigger ministries and different things has left the body of Christ in a quandary of a mess with no leadership. And friend, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And when the voice that keeps a church on the straight and narrow, when that voice goes down, then the mice want to raise up and play and make havoc of things. And that's where all the error and the false doctrine and the wrong teaching, and it's left the mark on the modern church. I'm talking the true church, the body of Christ, with a plethora of teachings. But guess what God is doing? He's raising up the voices again. He's raising up His word again. He's raising up the standard of righteousness again. He's raising up the truth of the gospel once again. He's making it proclaimed throughout the world and throughout the earth that the cross of Christ is all you're going to need in this life pertaining to life and godliness. All you need is Jesus. And that voice is coming back. God is bringing His people back to the foot of the cross, and He's blessing His church with His presence again. Amen. He's blessing with His presence and with whole hearts and with healed hearts. Hallelujah. They hear there's bread. And Naomi, and this is where our text, the name of our message came from. It says, and she got up from the place where she was. Let me read it to you again in verse 7 here. Let me read in verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was. She went forth out of the place where she was. Do you realize I was in a deep legalism for about 17, 18 years of my Christian experience. I've been saved about 30. But God brought me out of that place that I was by bringing me back into the grace of the gospel, to the blood of Jesus, to the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, to the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I came out of that dark place in my life. I came out of that dark unbelief. I came out of that man-pleasing religion. And I got back where I was pleasing God by simple faith in the crucified. Hallelujah. I came out of that place where I was. And that's what I want to press this morning. And that's what God was dealing with my heart. There are people here, you need to rise up and get out of that place you are and get back to the land of Bethlehem. Get back to the house of bread. Get back to faith. Get back to the cross. Get back to the blood. Get back to Jesus and Him crucified for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, you think about that this morning. Where are we at? Let me ask you, are you in the will of God for your life? Are you in the will of God for your life? Are you in the will of God for your life? Amen. Because if you're in the will, you're not living in sin. You're living in the hand of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. But if you're not, thank God, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you get tired of the famine, when you get tired of the loss, when you get tired of the hardship, when you get tired of the difficulty, something will start rising up in your heart and you'll begin to hear the good news of the gospel one more time, and you'll get your faith back into the finished work of Jesus. And I'm telling you, you'll get back to the house of Bethlehem, Judah. You'll get back to where God is blessing again. You'll get back to where God is pouring out His Spirit. Hallelujah. She rose up from the place from where she was. She knew where she was going. Thank God. Jesus, speaking in Revelation chapter 2, the first church at Ephesus, That church, if you read about it, a few verses, they're busy, they have apostles, they're doing the work of the ministry, but he says, I still have something against you. And he says, and basically the question is, well, what could he have against them? They're a busy church, they're doing the things of God. They're even trying those that say they're apostles and found them to be liars. I mean, aren't they doing the right thing? He says, you've left your first love. You've gotten away from me, the crucified, and trusting me for everything in your life. You've gotten so busy by what you do in Christianity, you're mistaking that for faith. You're mistaking all your activity, all your church rules and regulations and membership requirements, you're mistaking that for saving faith. And they got into the place where Jesus had to reprove them and said, you need to get back to your first love. Why? Because when you're at the foot of the cross with your life, when you're putting faith in that shed blood for you, then Jesus Christ can again extend you the grace of God. God works within the parameters of the cross, within the parameters of the finished work of Jesus. That's why you can have two believers going to the same church. One is trusting in the blood. The other one is just kind of trusting in a philosophy of Christianity. One is being blessed and raised up by God. The other one is in a frustrated Christian life and wonders what's wrong with me. It's an unbelief, even though you're busy in the things of God, at least in your own mind. She rose up from the place where she was. You see, it's good news. God isn't done with his Naomis. He's not done with the Naomis that have gotten out of the will of God, that have stumbled, that have found themselves in Moab, that have gone through loss. God in love looked down from above. Oh, how his mercy rewrote our lives. The good news for us, the body of Christ, wherever this message goes, God isn't done with his Naomis. He was working with that woman. Why would God have patience with her? Because he loved her as he loves you. God is patient with you. He's patient with me. But that whole story is about God bringing a woman back into the will of God, where she can again be blessed and touched, strengthened, and restored. Amen. It is God's will for every believer in this house that you receive a full portion, that you be fully restored of what your own sin, your own unbelief, and sometimes just the powers of hell have assailed in your heart and life. God wants you to be fully redeemed and restored from the effects of your past and wrong direction. Thank God. Do you realize when I was in legalistic Christianity, I was fueled by my zeal. I was out of the will of God, but yet in the will of God, but yet not being blessed fully by the Lord, because my zeal had blinded me, thinking that through all the things I'm doing, I'm attaining the blessing of the Lord. God can bless me because look what I'm doing for him. But God said, Jeff, I'm paraphrasing, when it really came down, Jeff, you're in unbelief. You're not trusting what got you into this Christian experience. You're trusting now you got saved by putting faith in Jesus Christ, but now you're trying to sanctify your life through what you do. That's Galatianism. The book of Galatians is all about that. And how many of us have started right, and now we try to help God out? And we can be many years. 10 years Naomi was in Moab. That legalistic trip on my end was about 16, 17 years. A pastor friend told me, he said it would be about 20 years the average person it would take to wake them up that they've given so much for so little in return. But I'm here to say, God isn't finished with his Naomis. Thank God there's enough, there's a remnant that says there's got to be more than this. and we come to our senses and we turn back to Jesus Christ and we turn back to his shed blood and we start putting faith in the finished work and we start learning of the message of the cross, which is the message of grace. And true grace teaches us to deny all ungodliness and worldly longings. If you're in the true grace of God, that's where the true workers come from in the kingdom of God. Because now they're not doing things to be accepted by God. They're doing things for God because they love him. And they can't do enough to say thank you. Amen? For the good things that God has done for them. The motivation changes. God isn't finished with his Naomi's. Musicians, please. You see, she discarded that evil twin of unbelief. And she began to put faith again, that there was bread again, that God was blessing. And faith began to move her in the right direction. You see, true faith, my friend, is a state of being. It's a state of being. When you're in faith, when you're in belief, it's a state of being. It's a condition of your spirit, man. It's a condition of your soul. Amen? When I'm in the faith, whatever is not of faith, Paul said, is sin. I have to be in faith, the faith, believing, trusting, looking by faith to the one who was crucified for me. Even as the lame man of old laid by the gate called Beautiful, faith lifted him out of his place. The scripture says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you now see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was the faith of that lame man's heart, just as Naomi of old, that brought him out of that condition he was in. Amen? Think about it this morning. Faith will justify your life before a holy God. Faith will sanctify your life. Faith will bring to you all the promises of God, which in Jesus are yes and amen for you. Your proper faith and belief will provide salvation, will provide the power of God, will provide the grace of God to meet any occasion or any situation you're facing in life forever. Amen. Faith in the finished work. Even as it said in Hebrews 11 towards the end there, they'll escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. They become valiant in fight. They stop the mouth of the lions, and by faith they obtained a good report. And I want you to know that by faith they received an imputed righteousness that made them perfect in the eyes of a holy God. Oh, I'm here to say, my friend, it's time for you and I, as Naomi of old, to rise up from that place where we are, and it's time to get back to the foundations of the gospel, the foundation of Jesus and his shed blood for you. The foundations of the faith where the victory has been won and it's a provision of God on your behalf. Oh, will you trust him? Will you call on him? Will you divorce that evil twin and go into believing faith, trusting him, resting in his finished work, putting away religion, but embracing a relationship with Jesus Christ who can redeem you and save you and restore everything to your life. Let's stand. Says she went forth from that place where she was. The altars are open this morning. If you need prayer, I'm going to ask a few of the elders, Virginia, Randy, Elizabeth, Honey, Greg and Arlene, if you'll come, please. Roger, Joan. You may just need time at the altar, or I'm going to encourage you to have one of the eldership pray with you and agree in prayer. But I think it's time to get back to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. It's time to get back to the house of bread by faith. It's time to cast down the unbelief of our heart and begin to embrace Jesus and Him crucified for me. And let the Lord redeem and restore everything. God can make the crooked things straight. He can bring every mountain down. He can raise every valley low and bring it on an even keel in His will. The Lord wants to put you back together. If you're a Naomi out there and spiritually you have wandered, and maybe even naturally you've gotten out of where you need to be, the Lord can restore. The Lord can put all things back together. It's time this morning. Let's come to this altar. Let's come to this altar. I think most of us have a prayer petition. Oh God, bring me back to that place I need to be. Let's come. Let's come. Come on. Come. Let's come to this altar. Let's come to this altar. Let's pray. Let's call on the name of Jesus. Let's come out of Moab. Let's get back into the will of God. Let's get back to that place we need to be this morning. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. Let's call on His name. Let's believe on Him today. Let's trust Him today. Let the Lord draw your heart. Let Him bring you back to the center of His will. If you've got a sin issue, He can forgive it. He can heal it and give you the victory over it. Jesus can turn all things for good. Let's come this morning. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? I'm pleading with hearts this morning by faith. Let's get back to the will of God. Let's get out of that place where we were, and let's get to the will of God. Let's come. Let's go. Let's go. Let's trust Him one more time. Oh, let's love Him. Anybody else this morning? The Lord draw on your heart. The Lord draw on your heart. Let's get back. Let's come. Let's come to the will of God. Let's get back to that place we need to be. Come on. Come on. Let the Lord draw your heart and your spirit. Hallelujah. Time to get back to the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Back to the blood. Back to the help, the enabling power of God. Amen. Let the Lord restore your heart, restore your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory.
And I simply come.
Let's look to Him. Look to the one who bought us, who died for us. Back to Jesus. Back to His heart. Back to faith in the finished work. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, lift our voice, let's worship Him this morning now.